Yesterday was already mega beautiful. Do you remember this, the Yagya in the evening, where this huge flame shot up to the moon planet? It was so high. You know? I think there was a lot of blessings yesterday on all of us and on all the people we prayed for. Today, as you know, is Radhashtami. We will speak a little on the glories of Radharani's love. I believe it will be very relevant for your spiritual lives. Already we started on a very high note with that nice Kirtan property. What is your name?
Hari Venu.
Oh, the flute of Lord Krishna. Wonderful. Very nice, Kirtan. Thank you very much. Okay, so we will start. Hare Krishna. Good morning, Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj. Was nice yesterday in the setting, no? Very, very. Utsuk. So. Jai Re Radha Madhava Kunyavi Hari Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dadi Vallava Girivara Dadi Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dadi Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Jaji Yamuna Tiravana Jaji Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jai Jai Radhe Jai Jai Shyam Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham. Hare Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan, Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham. Jai 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 Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Paravraja Gacharya Ashtata Satasima Sri Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Ki Jai Srimati Radharani Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Sumata Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Sati Deva Gavani Kuchami Sambhya is a tiny Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, it behooves us to approach this day and the personality whom we are celebrating today with the utmost care, the greatest amount of respect. Because perhaps the most well-kept secret of the Vedic scriptures is Srimati Radharani. We hear, when we approach the subject matter, what is God, the Vedas take a very gradual approach. They first talk about the energy, the Brahman, which is upholding the whole existence. Then they talk about God as being present within everyone's heart as the Paramatma or Supersoul, the inspirer of our life, the inspirer of our intelligence and our mental faculties. And then only they talk about Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Up till now, no mention of Radharani. The major body of the Vedic revelation is dealing with Brahman, Paramatma, and little with Bhagavan, mostly in the work Srimad Bhagavatam, no? And the Gita and so on. But if you look at all the other, the main body of the teachings, and then we learn in the Vaishnava tradition that Bhagavan is not one. He is two, and the two become one. Wow, this is very, very difficult to conceive, but we will most probably try to approach it. Now, even in the Bhagavatam, which is considered the cream of the Vedic literature from the Vaishnava point of view, there is the most careful, secretive mention of Radharani, not open. But very indirect. And the verse in which Radha is glorified is the verse which we chant today, where only those who know can see Radharani inside. So we will try in our Radhastami lecture to go also in the gradual way. I remember when I was in Goloka Dham, before my room, I heard someone chanting, Rati, Rati. And I knew something was not right in the sound. And yes, as I looked outside the window, it was someone who just had made a very, let us say, careless and not very thoughtful mention of this most, most, most well-kept secret of the Vedic scripture. So, yes, when we go to approach Radharani, we must approach her on our bellies, on our knees, and request blessings for this. So here is our verse for... Yes, we have it. I would like to have the book, please, or is it maybe here? Yes, it is. Is it here? Yes. 28. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. So please chant with me. Let's go a little. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Anaya radito nunam,
Anaya radito nunam,
Bhagavan Hadir Ishvaraha,
Bhagavan Hadir Ishvaraha,
Yanno Vihaya Govinda,
Yanno Vihaya Govinda,
Prito Yam Anayatraha,
Prito Yam Anayatraha,
Anaya radito nunam,
Anaya radito nunam,
Bhagavan Hadir Ishvaraha,
Bhagavan Hadir Ishvaraha,
Yanno Vihaya Govinda,
Yanno Vihaya Govinda,
Prito Yam Anayatraha,
Prito Yam Anayatraha,
Anaya radito nunam,
Anaya radito nunam,
Bhagavan Hari Ishvaraha,
Bhagavan Hari Ishvaraha,
Yanno Vihaya Govinda,
Yanno Vihaya Govinda,
Prito Yam
Anayatraha, Prito Yam Anayatraha.
Yes, please.
Vidyo yamanayatraha,
Can we have a Vaishnavi, please? Alaya Radito Nunam Bhagavan Harishvara Yanno Vihaya Govinda Prito Yamanayatra Anaya. By her Aradita, perfectly worshipped. Nunam, certainly. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Adihi, Lord Krishna. Ishvara, the supreme controller. Yat. Inasmuch as Naha us Vihaya rejecting Govinda, Lord Govinda, Prita pleased Yam whom Anayat led Raha to a secluded place. Translation. Certainly, this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead, Govinda. Since he was so pleased with her, that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Just to give you a little of the context, more of the context will come when we go more into the lecture, but for now, these are the gopis, Krishna's most dear devotees, who talk about one of them, this very particular gopi about whom they talk has been taken by Lord Govinda, who left all others just to be with her alone, and who has brought her to a secluded place. So they are talking about a particular person, purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that the word Araditaha refers to, yes, Srimati Radharani. He comments, this is now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur speaking, the sage Shukadev Goswami has tried with all endeavor to keep her name hidden. But now it automatically shines forth from the moon of his mouth. That he has spoken her name is indeed her mercy. And thus the word Aradita is like the rumbling of a kettle drum sound. Boom, 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 sound to announce her great good fortune. Not sure if the Mataji has, if you have, I think your child is in the age where she will become highly bored with my lecture. So she will want to also speak and comment in many important ways, but we can't understand her. So. You're just collecting your things. Okay. But we will miss her. We will miss her dearly. So. So let us pause a little and just understand, so Shukadev Goswami has tried with all endeavor to keep this name hidden, but of this particular special gopi. But now it automatically, in this verse, had come forth from the moon of his mouth, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an example, the rumbling of a kettle drum. Kettle drum is a drum which is perhaps from here to the Vyasasand, from where the hand is to the Vyasasand. It's a huge drum. It makes a loud sound, but in the beginning you hear only a little of it. So it increases in sound. It is used a little bit in classical music, but Western music, but the original kettle drum you can see in Vrindavan. There are these huge, huge drums. You can put 10 brahmacharis into the kettle drum. They are so huge. So it makes a loud sound when it is fully played. So our Shukadev Goswami has played it a little right now to announce her good fortune. Although the gopis spoke as if jealous of Srimati Radharani, they were actually ecstatic to see that she had captured Sri Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti quotes the following detailed description of Srimati Radharani's footprints as given by Srila Rupa Goswami in Sri Ujjwal Nilamoni. We will hear this part of the purport a little later when we come to explain the exact pastime where this comes from, and I will read at that time. I will take you through a meditation on Radharani's footprints. Very, very nice. But for now, let us, respecting the tradition of the Bhagavatam, where this is, the subject is mentioned in a very hidden way. It's almost as if Shukadev Goswami does not want to speak about it, and it comes out automatically against his better will. The name comes out in this Sanskrit word, Araditaha, no? She who has worshipped the Lord the best. So, yes, so it's we have to go slowly here.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesa Sonyavari Haskatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Govaktavinda Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostude.
Hare Krishna. There is a constant sound in the back. Is this for a reason that it must be like this, or can it? You're doing garlands? No, I'm asking with genuine interest, not with judgment. Sorry. Are there? You're doing. Yes, please continue doing it. Maybe you want to put a little chatter on the floor. Or should I give you my uttariya so that the sound is a little them. But we appreciate your service of very much, and please stay by all means and keep on doing it. Just turn down the volume a little. Good. My dear devotees, we learn in our tradition that Lord Krishna, the absolute truth, the goal of our activity, is one absolute truth. But in that absolute truth, a desire comes to engage in loving pastimes, so that same absolute truth becomes two in order to play and experience what is known in our tradition as rasa, the supreme spiritual taste which is there. If we ever want to come out of this world, we need to forget our jada rasa, that there's a taste which dead matter gives us, and we need to understand or feel some relish of the divine taste. So that divine taste which we all are looking for, the higher taste, so that we can be strong on our spiritual life, finds its full manifestation in an almost volcanic eruption in the divine pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna are the same, are absolutely the same, but simultaneously, in order to taste rasa, they become two. And we need to understand this in order to understand Radharani. Otherwise, if we are not approaching it in this way, we will feel she is like a lady lover, like we find in this world, a lover and his beloved. No, it's a whole different concept, and you need to now strain your brain. There will be pastimes and joy, and we will laugh, but for the beginning, you really need to work your brain muscle now. There is an explanation of this amazing one and difference between Radha and Krishna in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 4, verses 96-97. Radha Puna Shakti Krishna Puna Shakti Man Dui Vastu Bedanai Shastra Parman. So Sri Radha is the full power, and Lord Krishna is the possessor of the full power. The two are not different, as evidenced by the revealed scripture. There's a second verse. Mrigamada Taraganda. Now an example is given how they are one and different. Mrigamada Taraganda Jaiche Avicheda Agni Jvalate Jaiche Kabunahi Beda. They, Radha and Krishna, they are indeed the same. Just as musk and its scent are inseparable, or as fire and its heat are also non-different. So let us stop again. Radha and Krishna are the same, but they appear as two for the sake of relishing lila or pastimes, divine play. And the example was musk is the same as the scent, no? But the musk can stay here and I can smell the scent there. No, that is one and it is different. Or the fire is there, like yesterday we saw this huge fire. And those who were a little closer could feel also the heat. They are one, but also different. Radha is the or Krishna is like the fire, the Shaktiman, and Radha is the full power, the heat, no? The two are non-different, say the scriptures. Let us study this with an example from a philosopher who taught philosophy in, I think it was Indian town with A. Allahabad, perhaps. It is a godbrother of Srila Prabhupada who worked as a professor, like we have in our movement, devotees who are full devotees, and they their service is to bring Krishna consciousness into the academic world. And this is one disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati who gives the following analogy to help us. He quotes Jiva Goswami. It is, as Jiva Goswami explains, like the union between fire and a piece of iron. If you take a piece of iron and put it for a long time in fire, it becomes red hot, just like the fire. Every part of that iron is animated by fire and acquires the characteristics of fire. Still, the iron remains iron and fire remains fire. Similarly, both Krishna and Radha retain their identity. They are so absorbed in each other's love and lost in each other's minds or thoughts that there is hardly any room in their hearts for the thought of anything else. They are one in love, if you so want to say. So they are one soul, if you so want, assuming two bodies. Once Krishna wanted to understand the love of Srimati Radharani, so he took on a disguise. This is often done in the pastimes of the divine couple. They take on disguises where they change their voices, and all of a sudden Radha speaks like Krishna. They put cosmetics on. They change their gait, and their actions, like Krishna may walk like a lady and gesture like a lady, and so on. They use a lot of dress and disguises, and sometimes they use magic to disguise themselves. But these are six forms of disguises given in Shastra. But here Krishna took on the a dress of the most beautiful Gandhava lady and appeared before Radharani and said, "I can't understand why you love Krishna so much. I watched you from the heavens. I saw how Krishna called you in the midst of the night under the tree, the flute tree." What's the Sanskrit word for the flute tree? You know. Just strain your brain a little. Yeah, it's a Vanshi Vat. Yeah, Vanshi means flute. Vat means tree, no? So he called you. You left your home. You left everything, every social norm. You broke all the Vedic rules to be with Krishna in the midst of the night. And what does he do? He says, "Okay, now you have come to see the beauty of Vrindavan's forest in the night." As if he didn't know that you didn't come because of seeing the trees under the moonshine, but you responded to his loving invitation. And then he sends you home. And you still love him? I can't understand this. Now I found it. So Radharani said, "You don't know anything about love." She, at this moment, is not aware that she speaks to Krishna. Krishna has taken on this disguise, has now challenged Krishna's love, and to hear what Radharani will say. And Radharani then spoke. "You used the word love without knowing it. Anyonya chitavidu sho nu parasparatma. Common people say Radha and Krishna are eternally present in each other's hearts. And that's why they know each other's minds so well." No, it is understood in normal cases that when there is real love, the lover thinks of the beloved. No, we can take the principle and look at something which is right before our eyes. Mothers always think of their little children when they are small children. They are always there. They always know where the children are. And the children also, they are all, when the little thing happens, "Mama!" they cry. So they are, this also is there in romantic love. So common people say Radha and Krishna are eternally present in each other's hearts, and that's why they know each other's mind. Factually, this is not true. The real truth is we are one soul. It is not possible for one soul to become two. And then Radharani explains this. She gives analogies, and she says, "We are like one." Have you seen a lotus flower? Yes. No. Middle. Yes. We are like one lotus flower in a lake of love, which has become two. A yellow one and a blue one, but they are growing from the same stem. I don't think we have seen such lotus flowers, perhaps in the botanical garden, but I have personally not seen. But this is the analogy. We are grown in the ocean of rasa from one stem, one absolute truth, and now it's a blue and a lotus flower. Who could that be in Radharani's mind? Krishna. And one yellow lotus flower. Who could that be? Radharani. You know. You understand everything. So Radha and Krishna are two, but not in a dualistic sense. Like this is here and that is here, two different things. No. They are the singular absolute truth, manifesting just enough diversity for the love to explode. Because when love is happening, you need a lover and a beloved. You need two. It cannot happen in a singular object, no? So, clear? Somewhat clear? Chaitanya Rasa, he's a man of Rasa, he understands. So we must now go one step further to understand the nature of divine love, because already we have understood lover and beloved are different from what we find in this world. But what is their love? Is it the same like here, or it must also be different? You must know, love in this world is based on the enjoyment of either the body or the mind, or both. But both the body and the mind are artificial coverings of the soul. Now, the love in the spiritual world is totally different. It is based on the soul, which gives pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead through seva. We worship the gopis. Do you know, they comb their hair just like ladies in this world. They put flowers in their hair just like ladies in this world. They put fragrances on their body. But the difference is they do this only to give pleasure to Krishna. When Krishna sees their beauty and their love, his own beauty and his own love increases. And when the gopis see that, the Krishna is happy with me. Then their beauty and their love also increases. And in this way, there is an increasing thing. Therefore, the word explosion is maybe the best word, or the volcanic eruption of love. It gets more and more and more. This love is absolutely selfless and is not interested in one's own enjoyment. We hear in the Sakya Rasa, Dasya Rasa, Daruka, who is fanning Krishna, and as he looks at Krishna's beauty, his arched eyebrows, the beauty of his eyes, which look like the sun when it rises in the morning on a clear sky, and the locks and the shining of the locks of Krishna's hair, he begins to become so ecstatic. He begins to tremble, but then he curses his trembling, because you can't the fanning service is interrupted, and he says, I don't want to feel ecstasy, I want to serve. Or in another ras, the lotus-eyed Rukmini feels great bliss, but because of the bliss, she gets tears in her eyes, and now she doesn't enjoy this moment of transcendental rapture, and not at all. She curses the tears because she wants to see Govinda. So now this in this world, this type of love, you would call something which psychoanalysts would need to treat, a codependence. In this world, codependent love means, comes from a self-centered form of insecurity. And a codependent lover seeks the validation of himself and his own worth if the other approves of him. In other words, I'm only good if the person I love says, you're good, and you come. I have no worth. You have these codependent relationships not only between men and women, but also men and men. Only if he approves of me, if my group approves of me, then I'm valued. I'm valuable. This is self-centered insecurity, and so on. It is something which needs to be overcome if a person wants to move on his path to self-realization, where he understands himself, no, as being an individuum, not bound to another's validity. This codependent relationships, they will always be quarrel, because no one can live in this for long. Our conscience tells us that this is not good, and then we will quarrel with the same person. We look so much the approval of it is unhealthy, and so on. Radharani's love, however, is rooted in a complete self-awareness and complete selflessness. It comes because she really forgets her, she becomes so absorbed in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. A good example of this is Krishna's headache. I want to read to you something. I forgot which year, maybe 74, no, earlier, the devotees made a program, a Pandal program in Mumbai. And one of the highlights of the program was a drama which Achyutananda Swami put on. The production was called Krishna Has a Headache. So it's an old traditional story. One day Krishna in Vrindavan sits like this and a messenger comes and says, "My Lord, you're feeling pain?" "Yes, I have a headache. And this can only be cured by the dust of the feet of my devotees." So this messenger goes to the brahmanas, to the queens of Dwaraka, but they all say, "No, we don't give our dust to Krishna because it's offensive to touch the head of the God with the feet, you know." So good. I'm reading now. All the people the messenger approached refused to give the dust of their feet. They said, "Oh, if the dust from my feet touches the head of Krishna, it will be a great offense. I will go to hell." Now, when the messenger came to Vrindavan, he was immediately surrounded by the gopis. The gopis asked, "How is Krishna?" And the messenger said, "He has a headache." "Oh, you're coming from Krishna? Oh no, how can we help him? Is there anything we could do?" So the messenger replies, "The only thing that will cure him is the dust from his devotees' feet." So without any hesitation, the gopis replied, "Oh yes, take it all." And they bent down and they gathered the dust. It was put in bags. "Take as much as you want, take everything." So the messenger is surprised and said, don't you know that you could go to hell for this?" And the gopis answered, "We don't care if we go to hell, as long as Krishna's headache is cured." So Srila Prabhupada had heard about this drama. You know, it was one of our ISKCON dramas. You know the qualities of our ISKCON dramas. They are very ecstatic usually and blissful. The production is usually done in 2 or 3 days and is what you can do in 2 or 3 days. So Prabhupada wanted to see this, and his Vyasa-san was brought down from the stage. He first gave the lecture. I don't know exactly, but the play was towards the end of the program. So they brought the Vyasa-san down, and he sat down and watched the whole play with a broad smile. One devotee says, "I watched him. He was struck. His expression was sweet and pure with a childlike innocence." In other words, Prabhupada was completely absorbed in the drama, as if he watched Krishna and the gopis and Radharani appearing. Now there was one devotee who sat just very next to him, and this devotee later reported, "Prabhupada looked so involved. He was watching each part as though he had never heard the story." You know, the story is well known. Prabhupada had told it and so on. When it was said by the different people, "No, I will not give the dust," he would wince. He would go, "Oh no, now Krishna's headache will continue." He would wince. Wince is, what is the word wince really saying? Like shocked. Sich winden oder shocked, ja. And then when the gopis said yes, they would give the dust from the feet. Prabhupada's shoulders jumped up. Wow! And he leaned forward. And then tears started to roll down his cheeks. When finally the messenger brought the bags of dust from the feet of the gopis to Krishna, and Krishna accepted the dust, Prabhupada stood up. His mouth was open. His eyes, if you have seen Prabhupada's eyes when he's in ecstasy or surprise, they really become like moons, you know, very big eyes. It was as if he actually saw Krishna and his associates. Prabhupada, in other words, entered the very high feelings of this divine love, where everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure without consideration of one's own body and mind or own personal well-being. And this is, of course, the level of pure devotion. This is the motto by which Prabhupada himself lived by. Prabhupada said, my motto is everything for Krishna, nothing for me. This is love. This is real love. Not found so easily in this world. Now, amongst these gopis, there's who live by these highest standards of divine love. There is one supreme gopi, and she is revealed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The scene is this. This year, Gokrishna, myself, and a wonderful Maharaj, and a few devotees, we visited Vansivat. It's the tree in Vrindavan where Krishna stood and where Krishna stands and plays the flute. It's at the banks of the Yamuna in the eternal Vrindavan. And nowadays, when you go there, you can buy a little flute and offer that to the tree as a sign of appreciating the rasa dance, you know, the thing which is there. It's a celebrated lila. It's still celebrated to this day. So Krishna stood there and played under the how does it go? Like this, I think. He plays under this tree a particularly sweet melody. It's in the fifth note that I understand. It's a certain tonality. It's a certain. I don't understand so much about raga, so I only can leave you with this: the fifth note. And as he thinks of his dearest devotees, the love of his heart mixes with the air that comes into the flute, and the sound of the flute comes and moves through Vrindavan and reaches the gopis and enters their heart. This carrying love through sound is expressed by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He says the sound is like a bird, it can fly. And it flies to the gopis and it enters through the hearing, and then it sits in their hearts like a bird sits in a nest, and from there it plunders the consciousness of the gopis. In other words, the gopis forget everything else. They leave their husbands, they leave their cooking fires, they leave even their babies, and they come and go to Krishna. And as we heard earlier, Krishna engages in a pastime with them. He says, oh, you came to see me, but I'm a young boy and you're a young girl, and this is not right, you know, it's forbidden by the moral codexes. Go home now. And Krishna disappears. Oh, the gopis. A thunderstroke. My dear devotees, you don't know what it means we live in different by different society parole. If a woman would leave in the night to go to another man, this would be the end of the relationship. There would be no question asked, was there something between the two? No, this alone is the reason to disband her from society. Though the gopis had just done this, and they couldn't go home now, all they could do is to try to find Krishna. So they followed Krishna. And as they went into the forest of Vrindavan, they saw Krishna's footprint. And next to Krishna's footprint, they saw another set of footprints. Now, I notice some of you are getting restless. I think it's because a lack of oxygen, isn't it? So can we perhaps open the... Yes, also the door. Prabhu, you are very conscientious. Because I see you start struggling with your attention and so on. Wow. Do you need an energizing exercise or is it all right? Can you... Yeah, but it's not in the midst of this kata, you know. What is with this window? Not opening, it's locked. It will, in a moment, it will be very pleasant, you will see. So they see a second set of footprints, and I promised you to describe this second footprint. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, based on Ujjal Nilmoni, who is the second set of footprints? Whose footprints are they? Radharani, yes. In this lecture, if you say Krishna and Radharani, you cannot go wrong, you know, because they are one and it's a subject matter. So at the base of the large toe of her left foot is the mark of a barley corn. Below that mark is a disc. Below the disc is an umbrella, and below the umbrella is a bracelet, and it continues. Lotus flower is there. And then we go to the right foot. There's a spear. And then there is... and then there is a chariot on the right foot. All these footprints mean something, or all these signs mean something. The chariot means, my dear devotees, if you travel by foot, you go very slow. But if you get on a chariot, you can go very fast. So if you go alone in your spiritual life, you will go very slow. But if you surrender to Radharani's lotus feet, you go very fast. The chariot means something else. We conditioned souls are usually battling with our senses, with our minds, with people near us, with people far away from us. We have always difficulties with people. There are wars in the world, no? If you fight in a battle on your feet with a dueling sword and so on, you don't stand so many good chances, because infantry is always sacrificed when the cavalry comes, and when the chariot driver comes, infantry is lost. So, but if you get on a chariot, my dear devotees, you are in a higher position and you can move very swiftly and battle your opponents very easy. So if you fight your spiritual life alone, you will be lost. If you take shelter at the lotus feet of Radharani, you will be victorious. This is what the feet say. This is what the kettle drum announces. But I will block myself because you might get bored if I go too much into these details. So let's step back a little. So the gopis see these two sets of footprints, and then they know the second footprint is from Srimati Radhika, and she is that special gopi whom Krishna did not leave behind. That's the glory of her love. Let us chant this verse again. Sukadev Goswami never had mentioned her name, and there is a reason. Sukadev Goswami, pure Vaishnava, thought if he would talk openly about Radharani, he would lose his consciousness and he would faint. And then this would be a problem, because he was preaching to whom? And how many days had Parikshit left before he would die?
Seven.
Well, this is now in the 10th canto, perhaps three more days. And if he now faints, Katha stopped, finished, the medics would need to come, or the, you know, some no medics, cattle's players, and water would have to be poured on him. So he avoided. I don't want to talk. I don't want to. No. I have to do my seva here. I have to stay in normal consciousness, not in ecstasy. So let me not talk about Radha. But then it slipped out. And it's here. Please let us chant again. Anaya radito nunam. Bhagavan Hari Ishvara.
Bhagavan Hari Ishvara.
Yanno Vihaya Govinda.
Yanno Vihaya Govinda.
Prito Yam Anayat Raha.
Prito Yam Anayat Raha.
So he says, Ana ya ra dito. It's almost Radhika, no? But he could twist it around, catch himself in the last moment. I have seen Prabhupada in this situation. He was singing, and ecstasy came stronger. Prabhupada tried. To keep himself, and then jump, the ecstasy broke through, and he stopped singing, and tears just came out of his eyes. No, these are the great lovers of Krishna. Yes. So, yes, so this is the great love of Radha and Krishna. And I would like to say, how does Krishna react when he sees the devotees loving him? First of all, how does he react when he sees us here in this world who try to love him, who try to do things for his pleasure? How does he feel about this? And then how does he feel in regards to the perfected souls, the Radharani and the gopis? Have you sometimes asked yourself what Krishna thinks about your efforts, your attempts, when you do kirtan? Does he hear you when you cook something it's theoretically for him and mostly for you, because you know you eat it afterwards, but you think, today Radharani's appearance day, she likes plum chutney, I also like plum chutney, but let's make a plum chutney. Why does she like plums? Because they are blue. And why does she like anything blue? reminds her of Krishna, Krishna Mayi Radhe. No? Yes, so. So how does he, Krishna thinks about our mixed bhakti and how does he think about the others? Krishna was put to the test by the gopis. After he had disappeared and gone with Radha into the forest, all the gopis tried to find him by tracing the footsteps, but then all of a sudden, they saw someone from the distance. It looked as if a lightning flash had left the cloud and fallen on the ground, full of light. There was a spot in the forest full of light. Who was it? Radharani. I told you, you just one of the two. You're Radharani. Radharani had been left by Krishna also. And she had fallen on the ground and fainted, and she was lying there. But because her beauty is so extraordinary, like molten gold, she was shining in the night through the forest. And the gopis saw her in this condition, lamenting, and then they understood, wow, she has so much love. We have not fainted, but she has fainted when Krishna left her. So later Krishna appeared again. The gopis went, tried to find Krishna, but they couldn't find him, and they reasoned, oh, Krishna is in the, does not want to be found, therefore we can't find him. So let us go on the banks of the Yamuna and do what he likes most of his devotees. Do you know what Krishna likes most? Krishna likes to be glorified. That's why we always sing Hare Krishna. He likes it. He likes to be glorified by his devotees. So the gopis understood this. They went to the banks of the Yamuna and they sang the holy names. Not just the holy names, they sang a beautiful composition. Do you know the composition? Gopi Gita. Jaya te te edikam. And so on. Yes, it's a beautiful song. You can sing it in our Krishna Balaram Mandi. We sing it every evening during the month of Kartik. Next, of course, there's the Damodar song. No. So then Krishna came, and the gopis now, they set him down. They spread some of the cloth, which was not required, on the ground. They sit here. We want to ask you now, what type of lover are you? You call us and then you disappear and give so much pain. And Radha had so much pain. What type of lover are you? And then Krishna is hard-pressed and he has to reveal his heart. He can't just give any type of answer. I'm a good lover. He has to address the subject. And he says, I will now say it in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's words. First he addresses those who try to love him in this world. For those surrendered souls who worship me through Naam Kirtan and other such means, I do not respond. In order to make their worship more perfect, oh, you Abalaganas, you gopis who cannot understand my real intention. When these people, these surrendered souls, see that although they sing and they worship me, I don't come. They develop deep humility and feel, alas, alas, everything I have done has been useless so far. Because I'm an offender, Krishna has not shown even the slightest favor towards me. Let me be damned. I'm such an offender. Krishna has, why should he come? My heart is so impure. By constantly thinking in this way, those who have not yet developed mature love for me will become free from lust and anger and awaken pure devotion, full of power and brilliance. Can you now understand why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says the qualification, if you want to chant and Krishna, if you want Krishna to appear, hello, listen. The qualification is what, if you want to chant?
Humility.
You don't think when you do japa, oh, now Krishna has not yet appeared to me. You don't think when you do kirtan, oh, I'm calling him, no answer up till now. You think it's because of me. There are so many things in my heart which don't belong there. Why should Krishna sit there? This is the attitude of love. We are called to develop this. The love in this world, when there is an obstacle, or when it is not fully answered, you give it up. No? Divorce. Or quarrel, you know. I withdraw from you. The love in the spiritual world, which we are supposed to develop, you know, your bhakti, you use it so often, your bhakti yoga festivals, no? Bhakti immersion, bhakti this, bhakti that. Bhakti means even if there are opposing forces, your love does not waver. Instead, all the obstacles are overcome. That's the love which we look for. That's the pure love. That's the quality of so on. There's I tell you the principle. If suffering as vast as Mount Sumeru arises, whether from this world or the next, from others or from oneself, divine love is so incredibly strong, it quickly conquers the suffering and goes stronger. And the example is given, this is Radharani speaking, by the way, about her love. When a powerful lion confronts many obstacles in the form of big elephants, does the lion go home? No, it gets stronger. Wow! Now it's good chance. Wow! And he roars, and the elephants have to run away. So this is the pure love of Radharani. And now, Krishna, in order to bring us there, is not immediately appearing. He's not a cheap god with a cheap well-feeling. Krishna tests us, and he wants to see that we come to this place of humility. Have you noticed, when you're really humble, when you really see that I'm not the most significant person, you know, how you are able to chant better? Have you seen? No? Yes? Middle? Now Krishna talks about the second type of lovers. However, the nature of those who already have mature love, Krishna Prema, for me is different. For them, I do not respond for another reason, not to increase humility, but I do not respond in order to increase their attachment to me. I appear and then I disappear in order to deepen their loving attachment. And he gives an example. When a poor man loses all his wealth, all he can think about is his wealth. I remember when I lost this rich wristwatch. I'm not so rich, Swami. little normal Swami. When I lost this, it's a wristwatch which is 900 euros, I found out. And I lost it. I could think, where is my wristwatch? Where's my wristwatch? Where's my wristwatch? By the way, when you lose something, chant Om Hanumate Namaha and you will find it. I did this and I found it. Somewhere on the road in New York, it was in some corner, you know. But Om Hanumate Namaha, found it. So, yes, my dear devotees, you might say, but why are you so enthusiastic, Satchinandan Swami? Why is it, this is a high standard. It is discouraging to hear about this. We are what we are. My dear devotees, please don't think like this. Radharani is also very merciful. Yes, her love is the highest for Krishna, and her love for anyone who wants to attain Krishna and please Krishna is also the highest. Her mercy is the highest here. This is the quality of Radharani. Krishna is different. His standard is very high. Savada, give up everything and surrender unto me. Radharani's quality is absolutely different. When she sees that someone wants to come close to Krishna, she gives assistance and help. All it requires is that we put ourselves under the shelter of Radharani. Prabhupada once gave a lecture. He said, there are two energies. Do you remember? One is material energy, yes, which manifests this world. And one is the superior energy. What is that? Spiritual. Of what else could it be? Yes. The material energy, he said, is Durga with 10 hands. And which have 10 different weapons. Clang, 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 clang. Maya is very strong and very heavy to us, no? Yesterday we needed to pray for so many people who are in misery. Also devotees in our community. We needed to pray yesterday. But then there is the spiritual energy, which is Radharani. Prabhupada says we are under the control of the material energy, and success means gaining release from the material energy and being blessed by the spiritual energy. So these are his words. Radharani and Durga, both are prakritis or natures of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one prakriti is meant for controlling the material world. What is that prakriti? Maya or Durga, and the other prakriti is meant for blessing the spiritual world. Who's that? Radharani, yes. Radharani, the name has come from the word Aradhyate. Prabhupada refers to this verse here. Arada means worshipping. And so on. No? Then it continues like this. And he says, the success of our life is you give up the business of becoming controlled by Maya, and you have to become controlled by the spiritual energy, and your life is successful. What could it mean, my dear devotees, to be to seek shelter under Radharani's lotus feet? We are looking for something concrete now. This is now your time. What could it mean? To chant. What to chant? Japa. Japa? Which mantra, you think?
Radha's name.
Not Durga's name, yes. To chant and at the same time take shelter. Don't just chant automatically. Take take shelter under, you know, there's a lot of Radha's name in there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, yes, yes. And while you chant this, you appeal to Radharani, please, Radha, I'm trying, but I'm failing. I'm making so many mistakes, and my heart is still so much like a desert, and I'm such a neophyte. Radha, please pick me up from this material world. And in this way, yes, this is one way of taking shelter under Radharani's lotus feet. There is also another way. It is to understand that bhakti or devotional service is a form of Radharani. So Mahatmanas Tumang Pata Devim Prakritim Ashrita. If you understand this, you take shelter under the divine Prakriti, under Radharani, and say, please Radha, help me. No? Prabhupada gave a lecture in London where he even addressed Radha like a little child addresses his mother. Oh, mother, Radha, please take me. If you want to get into the Radha energy, you must get into the service energy, the service mood energy, and do that in the conscious way. Krishna consciousness is a secret. You can do it for a whole life and miss the whole point. Yes, secrets are like this. And you can do it from the first day and take shelter under Radharani or under Krishna, and you will get the point very quickly. So this is a little bit on Radharani and the success of our life. I wanted to speak practically about Radharani. Yes, I could talk about how Krishna, in order to please Radha, takes on the form of a peacock and dances before her. I must tell you this. This you must hear. Sometimes Radharani gets into man. This is called a faint disinterest. She's not really disinterested. She's not really angry at Krishna, but in order to heighten the pastimes, she pretends as if she is disinterested and angry, and then Krishna has to take extraordinary means. So once Radharani made it known, she will never see Krishna again. She had given away all her black clothes because it reminded her of Krishna. She had even given away her shalagram shilas, which are bluish black. She had asked all her sakis to go with a bucket of white color and paint all the tamal trees. Why? The tamal trees are also black. Yes, you know. Yes, so Krishna had heard about it, but she can't ban everything black when there is the monsoon time. He said to his one sakhi, when there is the monsoon time, Radha has to look up in the sky and see the bluish black clouds. And I'm also called like this, Ganasyam, you know. I'm the Gana means I'm the black person, you know. So she sees the black person, the black cloud, she will remember me. No, no, said the Saki, she will never see anything black. She takes a white umbrella and goes under a white umbrella, then she cannot see. So Krishna understood, this is serious. This needs some very special action on his part. So he took on a beautiful form of a beautiful male peacock, and he danced very far away from Radharani. in Varshana there are four mountaintops, so Radha was in one mountaintop, and Krishna is the peacock on another mountaintop, really far away. There are four mountaintops, why? Because Lord Brahma wanted to do some seva for Radha, and Krishna said, you have four heads, this is good. You become four mountain heads, mountaintops, and then Radha will touch your feet and she will have a place for pastime. You do this. So Krishna went to this one mountaintop as a peacock and started to dance. And he danced for a long, long time, because it was finally some sakhi saw this peacock is dancing, and she stayed there and looked at the peacock. My God, he's dancing so beautifully. And she went over to the other mountaintop and said, Radha, you must see this peacock. It's an amazing peacock. He is so absolutely peacock-like. He's dancing like I've never seen. He's like the king of dance. Radha could have noted something, but she did not. So she went over and she looked at the peacock, and the peacock danced, and it made its tail up, and in the end, it just made its obeisances with the head to Radha. And very untypical behavior. And then Radha understood, this is Krishna. And in order to please the Lord, the divine Radharani also changed her form into the form of a peacock, and then they danced together. The man was gone. So Krishna takes many, many disguises to break Krishna, to break Radha's man. Sometimes, you've written it down, he dresses like a female singer and sings so beautifully. And Radha hears her song, or he comes as a daughter of a barber and says, I can make your feet very elegantly. The love of Radha drives Krishna mad, and he takes many, many, many disguises, because this love is so supreme. And my dear devotees, please note, yes, Krishna is very difficult to obtain. Radha is so merciful because she loves Krishna so much that she wants to bring servants of this world to Krishna. She wants to support us in our little attempts. So therefore, please say with me, Shrimati Radharani ki jai! Radhe Radhe Radharani, Radhe Radhe Radharani, Radhe Radhe Radharani, Radhe Radhe. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Sivrindavanadham. Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Sivrindavanadham. Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham. Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam,
jai jai Sri Vrinda Vrinda Hare 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 Sri Vrinda Vrinda
Hare Krishna. So this was my attempts to glorify the love of Radharani, but I most certainly did very poorly, because it is a very sacred subject. It is very, very, rahasya, a well-kept secret, and it is to be always kept with great, great care and attention. We know that when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur heard when people talked about Radha and Krishna, and that lectures were given, he sometimes would get up and leave it. It's not that he didn't like Radha and Krishna. We hear that he was in states of ecstasy when he quoted verses from Radha Rasa Sudha Nidhi, but it was paining his heart when this was not properly described and with mundane undertones. No? Therefore, also you see this in Prabhupada, he is not talking very openly and often about Radharani. No? Have you noted? But this does not mean that the subject is bent. It is the highest subject, but it should be approached with the utmost care. Do you remember the work Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where the greatest of Krishna's devotee is brought out? It takes one whole book to go through the various devotees and show Prahlad's love, the higher than that love is the love of Hanuman, higher than that love is the love of the Pandavas, higher than that is the love of Uddhava. It goes, you know, from very early, because the acharyas want us to understand that this is something so special, so sacred, so. And therefore, I wanted to give this lecture like this. I can tell you so many, I've heard so many pastimes about Radha and Krishna. So many. And you would laugh and laugh until the end of the day. But we first need to understand the tattva of Radharani's love. Otherwise, the lila and the rasa will be misunderstood, and then we take the highest and make it the lowest. That can never be done in Vaishnava circles. So I was trying. Please show your mercy on me. It is a very important subject for those who go to Vrindavan. We have made this Govardhan Retreat Center, Buri Jampabu and others, and I was able to help a little. Yes, so it is to bring devotees carefully to the treasures of our Sampradaya. No? But it must be approached carefully and like this. Good. I have ended. I've come to the end here. Do you have any questions which you would like to ask at this stage? Yes, I have seen Balaram Pran first, and then our Mataji is also there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, yes. Thank you so much for this nice presentation. How to understand that the energy is not different from the energetic, in the sense that the superior energy is coming out of Srimati Radharani, or is it Srimati Radharani herself? And because we say we don't worship Radha or Krishna, we worship actually the love between them. And is that love, is it the bhakti, or is it the superior energy? Or is it Srimati Radharani herself?
Yeah, you see from this question that there is need to read our philosophy, no, and to understand everything systematically. Well, starting with the first question in your multi-question question, Radha and Krishna, the easiest to understand that they are one for me really is the way to understand also how the holy name and Krishna is one. There is a traditional example which is given, which Jiva Goswami also uses to bring out the point of one and difference. You know, when you put an iron into fire, it gradually assumes the qualities of fire and it becomes red hot. I think you must have seen in films perhaps where they made samurai swords and you know, something like this, that the iron is melted and becomes red hot. So at that time fire and iron are the same, you know, there's you grab it and you can see it's the same, you can feel it's the same. So Radha and Krishna are also similarly identical. Now at the same time, they are identical and they are different. This is just in the example, the iron and the fire are the same, but they are also different. Balaram Pran, our mind can't think this very easily. Therefore, this examples must be used, because either this is this and that is that, but this and that, they can't be the same, you know. We have no experience in this world. Yes, there are theoretical models of the electron is a wave and it is also a particle. These are theoretical models of thinking. And yes, I have read books about it. I have heard people, I have asked many questions, but it remains a theoretical model for me, just a theory. Not something that I have experienced in my life. So Radha and Krishna, you know, what I would do in your case, I would build a parking place in the mind where I put all those subject matters that I hear from Shastra, but which I can't really grasp at this moment. Put them on a parking place, because you will see, Balaram Pran, you can't fully grasp these things at any stage in your mind, with your mind. Only a purified heart can see these things. Our material minds are not able to understand spiritual reality. It's just not possible. That doesn't fit in there. So put them respectfully on a parking place. Wait until your heart purify your heart through chanting, but also through selfless service. And then, yes, of course, you will understand it. But it's not from your mind. It's from your purified state of being where you understand this. This is my humble suggestion for you. And in the meantime, try to understand the philosophy really good. This is called tattva. So, because you need to rest your attempt to understand spiritual reality on what the acharyas and the scriptures say, and then it will blossom forth in your heart. Balaram Pran, because you are a thoughtful, intelligent devotee, I know you, we have talked, that's how I can say it. My conviction, it's not secret any longer, I've said it a few times, is that The real understandings in spiritual life will happen through revelation. And the place where the revelation is most likely to happen is in the chanting of the non-material holy names. So that is, many devotees rest their case on this understanding. Mm-hmm. There's one Mataji who has also asked a question. Yes. Now it works.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I would like to ask that it's described in Bhagavatam that actually the Mahamaya Yogamaya is the same energy, but it depends on how she acts in material and spiritual world, as you described also. So, and it's written that to somebody who is not devotee, this Mahamaya controls him, as you describe. And if somebody does spiritual practice, becomes devotee, then the same energy changes from Mahamaya to Yogamaya, mm-hmm. and helps the devotee on his path. So, and it seems like the same, it's just a matter of perception, maybe, of the devotee. Mm. Whether, yeah, this, because there can be the same situation, but if this is correct understanding, that mm-hmm. it's just a matter mm-hmm. of perception.
Thank you very much. Yes, yes. Yes, in fact, for a devotee, everything is spirit, and it acts in a material way, and it can act in a spiritual way. It's Radha or Durga. The way to understand it perhaps is with electrical energy you can have heat when you put a radiator to it, or you can also have ice cold unhealthy AC if you put an AC to it, no? So it is the same energy which works hot and cold. So yes, this is a fact that I have heard many times. From this perspective, it's one perspective of looking, there is really no matter. It's all spirit, but we perceive it when we are forgetful of Krishna as material. This is one perspective. There are other perspectives, but since you asked like this, you know, there was once a devotee, an early disciple of Prabhupada, who had heard Prabhupada saying this. So he said, "It's the matter is just a matter of perception." Okay, let me try this. I walk now towards the wall, and it's spirit. Let me close the eyes. Bang! Oops. But I was in spiritual consciousness. Why did it act as material for me? In his book, this disciple, his name is Gurudas, says he did three attempts, I think, or was it two attempts, and the wall remained the wall for him. You know, it didn't change into spiritual energy. So Hare Krishna. This is a very high philosophy. On one level, we come now on another level. You know, reality is complex. It's not just one thing. There are various perspectives to view it, and this is the highest understanding. There are other understandings as well, and I think for practical usage in this world, we do make a difference between what is matter and what is spirit. But you are right.
these things will one day be revealed to us. But thank you very much for your very thoughtful question. You have really understood very nicely. I'm amazed. But of course, I don't know all the devotees now. Maybe you are an older devotee and I just don't know. Yes, thank you. We come to our last question for today by Gaur Mohan. We have a microphone for you, Gaur Mohan.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I hope it's okay to ask that question.
Everything is okay.
So my question is, when do you feel Radharani's mercy most personally, and how do you feel, how do you perceive her, what is your understanding?
My personal understanding, you mean?
How do you perceive Radharani's mercy?
Yeah, this is, I feel her mercy by her arrangement. When I pray and I see things are happening in a way they could not happen by the laws of material nature, then I think this is Radharani's mercy. This question is, how do you know anything, Gaur Mohan? How do you know that Krishna is God, for instance? It's very difficult. We believe that Krishna is God. Knowing is something different than believing. Once Prabhupada asked his disciples, early disciples, how do you know that Krishna is God? And one devotee said, well, he says so in the Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada just laughed it off. He said, Krishna says so many things. Doesn't mean he's God. How do you know? No. The devotees were, oops, now this is. And they said, we know you, and you said Krishna is God. I may be just an old man, Hindu man from India. Say my religion. How do you know? You know, when your spiritual master asks you this, and there was dead silence after this. And we all knew when Prabhupada was in this mood, he would take all your answers apart anyways, you know. Then he said, you know that Krishna is God by the experience of bliss that you make when you chant his holy name and when you serve him. By that thing you know that. It's almost like you are blind, you're coming towards the fire, you can't see it, but you feel, my God! You know, it's an experience that is there. Ultimately, Krishna consciousness is experience. And I do agree. That's why I feel sometimes little in two minds when I give such lectures like this, where everyone expects, wow, he is always in Vrindavan, he will talk like Vrindavan Katha of Radha. And then I say, no, today is tattva time. I agree, we are already convinced by the philosophy. We now need more of an experience. We lose so many devotees because, not because of the philosophy, but they have no experience of the philosophy. And this is true. We need to ask ourselves as a movement, therefore, many feel now, you know, there should be emphasis on kirtan, there should be long kirtans, devotees should learn to sit in kirtan for long hours without using their mobile telephones so that they can make an experience, that they can unplug from the world and plug into something spiritual. Of festivals, we believe festivals should be there, no? But like yesterday, where devotees So, wow, Nisshinga Yajna. Did you also appreciate the Nisshinga Yajna? Well, that was an experience, my dear devotees. No? So, yeah. So, yes, how do I feel Radharani? I can only say by arrangements which she makes. Obviously, Gaur Mohan, every older devotee who is staying for more than 50 years in the movement and doesn't go away, he either has experience of, you know, name, fame and glory and money which is given to him and good food and good dress. These are material experiences. But if he is sincere, he is not satisfied with this alone. He will have experience of spiritual, but it's very, they will be very shy, they will not talk about this, the older devotees, and there is a reason. First of all, a genuine spiritual experience, by definition, cannot be described with words which we use in this world so well. It's a different category. It's altogether different. Second, they are usually very short. They are flashes which come at the moment, and then they're gone. So if you are honest, how will you describe a flash? You know, it is more an impression which is made in the heart and which moves the heart so entirely, and the mind is startled by this. What just happened to me? No, it is very difficult to talk about it. And the third is, when you talk about it, you will always, this I have read in one epistemology book, you will always distort the experience a little bit by the words which you try to find to describe it. And in the process of trying to bring it across, you will have to use it, you will tell it differently, and then you might believe it even, that what you have talked. So therefore, spiritual experiences are very private, and they should remain very private. And I think it's the fairest thing, because you are a sincere devotee, and you it doesn't help you once I don't say anything about this. The fairest thing and the most honest thing to describe it, I think, is an arrangement that Radharani makes. For instance, I have noted I came during COVID time to Vrindavan, and it was not possible to go to Vrindavan, but I got this super, super, super special visa, and I understood this was Radharani's arrangement, because no one can come to Vrindavan without Radha's permission. So I can understand it like this. Quite indirect, you might say, but for me it is, yeah. Radha gave me the visa. You know, this is how I see it. Good. So we have come to a closure, to an end here. More will, during the day, there will be discussions about Radharani, I think, or most probably the discussions will be on Prasadam, because we will fast up till 12 o'clock. Please fast. You are not yoga people to whom we want to preach. Please try to do a little austerity fast until 12 o'clock. You can make it. It's only 2 more hours almost, you know. It's good for your belly situation. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi. Hari Om.